Reports and communications, Superintendent Craig.
All right, just a few things. Upcoming events for this month. Tomorrow, Wheatland L has their annual jogathon, always a great event. And there, some of you can see the tie-dye shirts. So if you want to go to that, it's from...
The actual running starts at 9.
And goes to what, 11-ish?
11, yeah.
Also, tomorrow is a minimum day for all students. Monday is no school, as it's Memorial Day. There are 2 weeks left of school. We have 4 days next week, 3 days the following week, and one more day this week. The last week of school, there are Rennie rallies for Wheatland L. It's on Monday, Lone Tree's on Tuesday, Bear River's on Wednesday. All three schools also have minimum days. But Monday, June 1st is also Mudstock at Bear River, and Wednesday, June 3rd is the annual Lone Tree Color Run. The last day of school is June 3rd. 8th grade promotion is June 4th at 9 a.m. Starting the first week of June, the district will move to 410s like we do each summer to try and conserve energy and not have air conditioners blaring all day. Summer camp begins on Monday, June 8th, and runs for 3 weeks, Monday through Thursday. And then there are two board meetings in June, June 16th and June 18th. And after school program registration for next year will start tomorrow, May 22nd at 4 p.m. Again, at 4:02 it will be full. So anybody's trying to get the kids in, you need to do it ASAP. All right, moving on to the enrollment. We had 1,351 students. It's 23 less than we had this time last year, 6 less than last month. We have 76 currently in the preschool program, which is 21 less than last year and 2 more than last month. We have a total of 1,427, and that is about 44 kids less than we had this time, last year at this time, and 4 less than last month. And that's all I've got.
Okay, CBO report.
Information instead of giving us the regular releases, they continue to provide more one-time funding. In the past, it was called categorical, it still is now, but they said they would never come back, and now they're coming back. These categoricals, one-time funding with a lot of restrictions, so it's more to monitor. It's one-time funding, it's not for ongoing expenditures. So then you see other things, again, the statutory COLA and what it will do. An additional 1.44 is going to be added, but not as a statutory COLA. We have to be careful about that. The statutory COLA is called, because of the additional, it's called a super COLA. Black grants, we're going to receive more additional black grants. Reserve cap, there's going to be more talk about how much to reserve depending on the size of the school district. The statutory COLA, again, the 25-26 is 3.02%. 26-27, that's the 2.41 that we budgeted as second interim. But now I'm going to be using the 2.87 to close the books. That way we can reconcile the revenue that the state will owe us during June and July. Again, statutory COLA, 2.87. The additional as an LCFF investment is 1.44. And then you have the augmented 4.31. This is what you will be hearing a lot about. But the statutory COLA is 2.87. It's 2.87, and you cannot forget that. Now, the LCFF funding factors, this is the standard rates that we receive per grade span. So TK3, 4 through 6, 7 through 8, 9 through 12, and that is the base amount. That's what the 2.7 does, the increase to each of the rates. The augmented COLA, 1.44, does that. So it's just to show you what the grade, the base grant will be per grade span. Again, this is what I will be using. I will be using the 2.87 for the budget. Special education rate, good news is that it hasn't increased in a long time, and it finally has increased. The state is proposing investment, I think it already did, of $2.3 billion to special ed. So the rates that are used now for our enrollment in ABA will be higher. And there'll be more funding for special ed, which means that the general fund will not have to contribute too much to the program. And these are some of the programs in special ed that will have an increase. Additional increases to block grants. Again, the one-time funds that we receive, if you put in one time, we keep receiving them. It doesn't mean that it's guaranteed, though, so we cannot really budget it ongoing. So the expanded learning opportunity, that's the ELOP, people call it ELOP, ELOP, that's that program. It will receive, we will receive additional funding. The learning recovery emergency block grant, another one. The mandated block grant, we receive it already. It's one of the funding factors that we have per APA. It's a very small amount. But this one, they are increasing it. Everything will have no restrictions. So that mandated block grant is so that we can have beverage products in the factories. So that's what that is. Those are the restrictions. Student support and professional development discretionary block grant. This one we have to be careful. We're going to receive more, but they're saying that only if the state invests more into the state revenues. So it may change, and I don't think that I'm going to include that in the adopted budget. We receive universal school meals, child nutrition funds, kitchen and infrastructure training, more infrastructure for the kitchen to do things like train the staff, but also update your kitchens, the cafeterias. Now, we already have some funding that we need to spend by the end of this, by next month. And I think it's approximately $200,000, a little bit more, and it needs to be spent, but it has to be spent in those areas in the kitchen to update some things. And we are going to receive additional funding next year. This is some of the contract requirements now. Now, with all the money that the school districts receive, there are a lot of requirements, especially now there's something going on with a lot of school And that's just contracted items. So that's changing, that's going to be part of the main revise. Multi-year projections, we know what they are, because I said before, but they're not predictions or forecasts. It's not a crystal ball. It's a tool, it's not a tool for measuring wrongness. It's projections. As soon as I finish with the adopted budget, things have changed. Things change rapidly. So it's a moving target. So just remember that what MYP's multi-year projections are, they're not this. And this is the framework for how we work to complete the adopted budget in the district office. If you don't do it alone, you really need to strategize the goals, to communicate and be transparent, and then also to accurately assess the numbers, and then work with business office, human resources, instructional services, and the superintendent. It's a group effort, and we have to work together. Proposals in the enacted budget will be a lot of more oversight with school accountability, charter school accountability and oversight. That's important to keep an eye out on that. Audit report requirements, and the reason I say that is because they may require charter school, even if you're not, even if it's a dependent charter school, to have its own audit report. But those are the things that are coming up. Audit report requirements, audit control, and compensation data collection, J90 form that is required to annually report all the benefits, salaries, and FTE numbers. And now it's a requirement that we have to do it by July 1st, but also now it's going to include classified staff, when before it was just certificated. Reminders of the next step, I'm almost done. So we continue to work with the estimated actuals for the budget, and then ELCA. We also work on continuing all the procedures and processes for the school district, for the staff, to empower the staff, plan more professional development for all the district office staff, and there's some plan for 2026, and then we're going to keep our eyes open to the legislative deadlines that are coming up for all those initiatives. And then the road ahead, we just, even though there's positive in the air about receiving more funding, we still have to budget conservatively. And other things are coming up, like negotiations, so we really have to work and include all of those things in the adopted budget. And with that, thank you for listening and staying awake.
I do think it's important too that Super COLA includes a new proposal by the governor's office to have 12 or 14 weeks of pregnancy baby leave, and it's supposed to be funded through that. So that's part of it. Whether that all, you know, it still all has to go through the legislation, but hopefully that will end up being there. Okay, in front of you is the letter that comes from the county after every report that we turn in. So that's just for your reading pleasure, but it was sent out, so we're giving it to you guys as well. It's about 4 or 5 pages long, so I wouldn't read it right now. Well, we have 4 retirements tonight that we're recognizing. I'm going to talk about the first two quickly that are not here tonight. First is Elaine Guzman. Elaine was hired in 2003 at Lone Tree School, where she started her career teaching kindergarten. In 2006, Elaine made the move to Bear River School, where she taught 6th grade for the next 3 years. Then in 2009, Elaine found what would be her long-term home in 7th grade history, with the exception of 1 year teaching 8th grade history in 2013-14, Elaine remained dedicated to 7th grade history all the way through the end of this school year. For well over a decade, countless students walked into Elaine's classroom and left not only knowing more about history, but also learning respect, perseverance, and responsibility. Elaine, again, is not here. The second one that's not here is Melissa Lueveno. It's one of those things that teachers don't like to come in front of adults, I think, because they're so used to kids, so neither one of them are here. Melissa's journey in Wheatland Elementary actually began way back in 1993, marking the start of what would be more than three decades of service to students, families, and staff throughout the district. In 95, she was teaching first grade at Lone Tree School before moving to kindergarten in 1996, where she remained through 2001. After several years of kindergarten, Melissa moved back to first grade and continued teaching for another 3 years. In 2004, Melissa made the move to Wheatland Elementary School, where she taught third grade for the next decade. In 2014, Melissa took an entirely new challenge and moved to Bear River School to teach middle school math, a position she has held ever since. Over the years, she has helped many students not only understand math, but also believe in themselves even when the equations seem impossible. Next we have, and she is here, Linda Schutz. Linda, are you here? Come forward. Come on forward. You can't stand back there. I need one of the board members to grab her plaque, and I will. Now they're here, it's a little longer, okay? So bear with me. It wasn't. All right, so Linda Schutz came. Tonight we gather to honor and celebrate the exceptional educator whose dedication, quiet leadership, and lasting impact have helped shape Wheatland Charter Academy for more than two decades. Linda began her work, her journey with the Wheatland Charter Academy in 2003, and from the very beginning, she embraced one of the most challenging and rewarding assignments in education, which is teaching combination classes. It takes a special kind of teacher to successfully balance multiple grade levels, meet a wide variety of student needs, and create a classroom environment where every child feels supported and successful. Linda did that year after year with grace, patience, and excellence. From 2003 to 2004, Linda taught a third and fourth grade combination class. Then from 2004 to 2017, she taught a fourth and fifth grade combination class, helping students navigate those upper elementary years with confidence and care. In 2017, Linda once again demonstrated her flexibility and commitment to the needs of the charter school by taking the third, fourth combination class again, while also continuing to move between fourth and fifth grade combination classes and third and fourth combination classes, depending on our student needs. She did that all the way through the end of this year. Wherever Linda was needed, she stepped up willingly, professionally, also focused on what was best for students and the school community. Linda is known by all of us who is soft-spoken, kind, and incredibly polite. But beyond her quiet demeanor is truly a remarkable educator. Linda has been a fantastic teacher throughout her entire career, and her impact on students, families, and colleagues can't be overstated. She also holds a very special distinction. Linda has the longest tenure as a teacher in the Wheatland Charter Academy. That kind of longevity speaks volumes to her dedication, consistency, and respect that she has earned over the years. Beyond her work with students, Linda has also served as a mentor teacher for many years, shaping the minds and confidence and skills of our newest educators. The guidance she provided to young teachers has had a ripple effect throughout the charter school and beyond. Her calm presence, thoughtful advice, and example of professionalism have helped countless educators grow into stronger teachers. The truth is, Linda's influence reaches far beyond the walls of her classroom. She helped shape the culture of the Wheatland Charter Academy itself. Her steady presence has been a constant for students, staff, and families. As Linda begins her next chapter, she is looking forward to moving to Idaho and enjoying a quiet life that retirement brings. While we are excited for her and this well-earned opportunity, there is no question that the Wheatland Charter Academy will not be the same without her. Linda, thank you for your years of dedication, your kindness, your mentorship, your unwavering commitment to the staff and students. Thank you for your countless for the countless lives you have impacted, and for an example, and the example you have set for all of us. Next, so we want to wish you well in your retirement, and thank you very much for all your years of service. And I agree that the Wheatland Charter Academy is not going to be the same.
Thank you.
Next up is Melissa Wyatt. She has to be here. She doesn't get a chance to opt out. So come on up, Melissa. You can't hide behind the desk. She picks it out, she orders it, she does it all, so yeah. All right, so Melissa's career started in this district. It's okay. Melissa's career started in this district in 1984, giving her an incredible 42 years of service to the students, families, and staff of the Wheatland School District. 42 years is more than just a number. It represents generations of students, decades of change, and a lifetime commitment to this community. Over the years, Melissa served this district in a few different capacities. Melissa was hired in 1984 as a librarian at Lone Tree, but in 1986, she stepped into the role that would be a long legacy of service as the secretary at Lone Tree. Melissa remained there till 2009, becoming a trusted and familiar face for students, staff, the military, and all families alike. Anyone who has worked in a school office knows that the secretary often is the heart of the campus, and Melissa filled that role with warmth, organization, and professionalism. In 2009, Melissa moved to Bear River, serving as secretary for both Bear River and Wheatland Elementary. Once again, she became someone people relied on daily, the person who always seemed to know the answer, solve the problem, or somehow make everything work, even during the busiest times. Then in 2011, Melissa moved to the district office, where she took on the role as the student services coordinator, a position where she truly distinguished herself. Melissa has not only done an amazing work here in our district, but she has also become the person that districts all over Yuba County turn to when they have questions regarding student services and CalPADS. The level of experience and trust does not happen by accident. It comes from years and years of hard work, deep knowledge, attention to detail, and the willingness to help others. A few years ago, Melissa also took on the role as the executive assistant, helping coordinate board meetings and supporting the many needs of the district superintendent. No matter what responsibility was added to her plate, Melissa handled it with professionalism, grace, and a quiet confidence. Melissa has always been a stellar employee, but more importantly, she has been someone that this district and the staff can count on. She has been steady, dependable, knowledgeable, and a deep commitment to doing what's best for students and the district. I also have to mention, this is Melissa actually tried to retire several times in the past 3 years. In fact, I was able to talk her into staying just one more year for the last 3 years, but not this time. This is time Melissa is truly ready, and honestly, after 42 years, she has more than earned it. As Melissa begins her next chapter, she's looking forward to spending more time with her family and friends, enjoying retirement, and finally slowing down a little bit. Although, knowing Melissa, I could absolutely see her becoming a yoga teacher or somehow still organizing everyone's lives while doing it with professionalism. But who knows what adventures are ahead. Melissa, thank you for your incredible years of service, your expertise, your leadership, and your unwavering dedication to this district. Thank you for being someone who we can always rely on and for making Wheatland School District stronger through your work and the care for others. And as a side note, Melissa also went to school in Wheatland. So she's been here much longer than 42 years. Thank you, Melissa.
Yes.
No.
We have one more recognition of a retired.
I knew I should have missed tonight.
You didn't know it was an option in Linda either, did you?
What's that?
So you didn't know it was an option in this like.
No. I think you've been on the board the entire time I've been here.
I know what that means, Steve.
Okay, as we celebrate an incredible career in education, we honor a leader whose impact will be felt for generations. From the classroom to the superintendent's office, his journey reflects unwavering dedication, strong leadership, and a deep commitment to students, staff, and community. A little bit about his experience and history in education. In 1988 to 1989, he was a teacher at Santee School District in San Diego, California. From 89 to 93, he was a teacher at Dry Creek School District in Roseville. From 93 to 96, he was vice principal at Lynn Crest Elementary School in Yuba City. From 96 to 97, he was principal at Central Gaither School in Yuba City. 97 to 05, principal at April Lane Yuba City Unified School District. 2006 to present, an instructor of administrative credential program at Brandman University. 2005 to 2010, assistant superintendent of human resources in Yuba City Unified School District. 2010 to present, 16 years, he's been superintendent here with Lupin School District. Throughout his career, Craig led with both vision and heart, always placing people first and fostering a culture that felt less like a workplace and more like family. His compassion, integrity, and ability to bring others together created an environment where everyone could thrive. Through every hole he led, every role he led, he remained steadfast in his belief that relationships matter most, and what belief shaped, and that belief shaped the positive family-oriented climate we cherish today. As he begins this well-earned retirement, we thank him for his years of service, his leadership, and the legacy he leaves behind. His influence will continue to guide us, and he will always be a valued part of this family. Wishing him happiness, relaxation, and all the best in his next chapter.
Can you guys hear me?
Absolutely.
I'm pretty loud anyway, so. congratulations, Craig, and everybody else that's retiring.